our Zendo is configured a little differently than usual. And we have this lovely table over here and beautiful flower arrangements and various accoutrements, because we're going to have, after our morning program this morning, we're going to have what we call a Dharma Elder Ceremony for Randy Chelsea, whose Dharma name is Shi Jun Kinmyo, Pure-Hearted Service, Joyous Luminosity. So in our Sangha, Shinshu and I have chosen to recognize what we call Dharma Elders as a way to recognize individuals who are deeply mature in their Zen practice and have expressed that maturity in our life together here at Ocean Gate. We also do this as a way of pointing out that true maturity in the Dharma is completely, let me emphasize this, completely possible in lay life. And it can take many forms. So we sometimes use the word Dharma Elder, and we sometimes use the word Sangha Elder. They're closely related, but they're also somewhat different in their meanings. So a Dharma Elder is someone who has a deep and sustained commitment to the Dharma in the form of the Zen teachings and Dharma practice, and has lived that commitment day to day for a long time. So someone who has come to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words, someone who's deeply aligned with the teachings and the practice. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a minute. The Sangha part of this is someone who is a resource and support for the Sangha, an exemplar of practice, who's there for others, someone who's committed to this community and has demonstrated that again, day by day, through service to the Sangha in many various ways, mostly invisible. You know, it's not magic that the altar is always beautifully kept, that the floors are clean, that somebody organizes who hits the bells and all these things. It's an effort of people who place importance on that. And there's something else. There's something that is subtle but not so easily named. A way of being, a way of caring, a responsiveness that reminds us of what we're about here. This person is a source of inspiration for all of us. So a Dharma Sangha elder embodies a commitment to Zazen, to service to others, to study, to integrating the rituals of our practice into their lives in a way that's appropriate and meaningful, placing the Dharma in the center of their life in a way that's unique to them, that respects their relationships and their commitments and the whole of their life. In a short sutra in the Udana collection, the Buddha describes 5 supports for the development of spiritual maturity. And number one, and this the Buddha emphasizes over and over and over again, good friends. Number one, good friends. Sangha, community, relationships. This is primary. Somebody asked, it might have been Ananda that said, Buddha is the Sangha of good friends a part of the holy life? And Buddha says, no, Ananda, it is all of the holy life. So this life in community, life in relationship is essential to our way. Number two, is a sense of integrity and self-worth. So this sense of integrity and self-worth comes from knowing your values and committing to them. Knowing what's important to you, knowing what's wholesome, articulating to yourself what is important, what supports life, and then doing your best. So this is not like you you wrapped it all up and put a little bow on it. It means that you know yourself to be committed. This is integrity. Integrity means wholeness, right? Integrity. Number three is staying close to the teachings. Listening to the teachings. Finding happiness in the teachings. Finding peace and relatedness in the teachings. In this closeness. In the bond. In the weaving together of your life and the teachings. Number four is effort and resolve. So this part means coming to know stability in practice, trusting the teachings and the practice, learning that you can turn to the teachings and the practice anytime, anywhere, and be guided and supported. So effort and resolve, sometimes it can seem really dramatic. Like Shinshu and I watched this movie called Something Solo. It was about the guy that climbed. Huh? It's a movie about climbing the Half Dome. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's amazing what this guy did, right? And we think, oh, that's resolve. But effort and resolve can be, oh, I'm kind of comfy. I don't really want to get up and sit zazen. But I'm going to. I'm grumpy. I'd like to snap at somebody. But I'm not going to. I'm going to practice. I'm going to return to the practice. And number five is discernment, wisdom, clarity. So this grows as we deepen our practice. And we come to know wisdom. We come to trust clarity. Which isn't to say that we see clearly all the time. We don't. But what we can see clearly is our own befuddledness, our own humanness, our own in it with all beingness, right? That clarity we can always have access to, which makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? So this clarity about the ways that we are befuddled, the way we muddle along together, and sometimes we have great moments of clarity and wisdom. And sometimes other people do. So when we're in it together, we can rely on other people's clarity as well as our own. This clarity is the most precious kind, because it is the birthplace of mutual respect and care. So it circles back again, right? Good friends. How do you have good friends? What does it mean to be a good friend? What does it mean to be in relationship with others? What are the qualities that support that? Especially when times get tough. Good friends. A sense of integrity and self-worth. How do you hide your own worth from yourself? What ideas do you have about yourself that disparage you, that steal from you, your own birthright, your awakened mind. These stories simply get in the way, which doesn't mean we don't face our failings. How do you know wholeness? How do you support it in yourself and others? Staying close to the teachings, listening to them, studying them, eating them. I've said this before, but St. Benedict says you should eat the teachings so much that when you burp the teachings. That's staying close to the teachings, making it a part of your flesh and bones. Effort and resolve, stability, commitment, steadiness. We were at a Zen teachers meeting not too long ago, a few years ago, and I was walking with a friend of mine who teaches up in Eugene. And he said, you know, I don't know how wise we are all the time, but we sure are stubborn. So, my father's family is from Friesland. And Friesland is known as even more stubborn than the rest of Holland. Somebody said to me once, oh, that explains it. So effort and resolve is a kind of stubbornness, a kind of, you know, yep, I may not be the brightest, but I'm at it day after day after day. And that's a certain kind of clarity. And it's inspiring, isn't it? It's inspiring. And number five, discernment, wisdom, and clarity. In particular, clarity about our humanity. So good friends, integrity and self-worth, staying close to the teachings, effort and resolve, and discernment and wisdom. These are the five pillars that we turn to, that the Buddha teaches us support our development of spiritual maturity. So in general, a person who is mature in the way is someone who's been guided by these principles, even when they didn't articulate them to themselves. These supports are what they turn to. Someone who has entrusted their life to the Dharma, ordered their lives in such a way that the Dharma reaches into every corner. So how we order our lives matters. You know. When we look at what we do, what priorities we have, we see what matters to us most. And we see not only what we do, but how we do it. How we allow the Dharma to teach us. Do we take the time to sit zazen or not? Do we take the time to check on our homebound neighbor or not? And what's the quality of attention that we bring to those? This tells us something about what's most important to us, right? So a person mature in the way is stable in their commitment. They rely on the practice. When faced with life's inevitable ups and downs, challenges, they come to know it as a source of wisdom and guidance. And because they know this, they rely on the Dharma, the practice. And they, in that reliance, provide a model for everyone. This model is often simple and direct. Cleaning the altar. Attending to a new person that comes in. Being careful with your zazen. Checking and making sure things are lined up. So everything's not helter-skelter in the zendo. But not like, whoa, everything has to be lined up. But with a good heart. How we listen, how we move, how we attend, how we grow, will we change? All of us are born with different gifts. Some have a really clear, true voice in chanting. some are aware of who's left out in any conversation. Some have an eye for creating beauty and a pleasing kind of order, or are good at details and organizations. Some people can fold their legs into full lotus and sit for hours. I have never been one of those people. I can sit for hours, but not... Some people are brilliant in making connections with the written teachings. None of us can do all of this. I don't know a single person that can do all of these things. So it's a good reminder that we need all of us in community, right? We need everybody's gifts. We need to support everybody's gifts to come forward. We need to be grateful for everybody's gifts. And it's what we do with the gifts that we have that counts. What do we do with this? And how do we remain humble and cheerful in the face of our limitations? If we have got a conked out sense of tune and we chant and it's like we know, but we do it anyway, there you go. That's a gift. It's far more important that we give what we've got and stay humble and cheerful with our limitations than whether we're, you know, like a shooting star. So the shape of a person who's mature can vary. Gifts, limitations, commitments, responsibilities. Are you a parent, a spouse, a child of a parent who's growing old? Are you working or not? Are you able-bodied, as we say, or not? All of these shape our practice, the actual ways that it comes forward. But the central core is the same. It's expressed in the way we orient ourselves towards life, our relationships, home, food, body, work, environment. I mean, we know Zen practice is practical. It's earthy. It's day-to-day. It is most definitely not abstract. It's not about what we say we believe, or what we think we believe, or what we pretend we believe. It's about what we do every day. So to know ourselves, to forgive ourselves and others for our humanness, to be of this world, to be in it for the long haul, as we say, married to reality. I'm married to reality. I'm married to all beings. This is where maturity flourishes, right? This is where it grows. This is where our sense of practice deepens, where we are willing to shed old understandings and come alive with something new. We become more flexible, lighter, more responsive, right? Notice that what I say is with others, because we are all a part of the same reality. We grow in our knowledge together in the Sangha treasure. This Sangha treasure, family Sangha treasure, work Sangha treasure, classroom, Sangha treasure. Always we're looking for how we take refuge in that. And in that, our practice makes demands on us. So the image that I have, I saw this documentary once on huskies, you know, sled dogs. They love to pull the sled. They're not. Except I heard recently that on the Iditarod, like, the whole team just wouldn't go. And this guy was like, what? They just refused. And I thought, well, that's interesting. What's going on? Because as I understand it, Huskies are happy when they're pulling the sled. And that's us in relationship to the demands of practice. It's like, yeah, I want to pull. I want to pull with the team. I'm like running along, feeling the traces, pulling at the traces. That gives us a taste of a life well lived, doesn't it? That sense of engagement. We're never fully mature. And knowing this is another mark of maturity. We always have something more to know, something more to change, something new way of understanding. One of the things that's really nice about studying the Dharma, a text, over the course of many years is that you come to an understanding of it, and then a couple years later you come to another understanding of it, and you say, oh, this must be it. And then a couple years later you come to another understanding of it, and you say, oh, wow, this must be it. And eventually you realize it's endless. You know, there's always, always something new. This is a really powerful dimension of our maturity. And it gives us a sense of humor, a sense of self-acceptance, a simple, kind of confidence. And then we lose it. And then somebody else has it. How nice is that? So we see our own humanity, our own foolishness, our fallibility, and we see clearly that perfection is a trap. It's isolating and it inhibits life. We get it. That it's in the doing that we come alive. Enjoyment, friendship, humanity, ease, these are virtues that we cherish. We don't smother our life with ideas of what we should be. We have silence. We have dedication. We have discipline. We have depth. We have precision. All of that's true. But it's not grim. There's lightness. There's love to it. So we grow and mature over a lifetime. To name someone as a Dharma elder or a Sangha elder is not to say they have no more to do. Right? That would be silly. That would be truly silly. And it would ignore the fact that every dimension of our life, every new phase of our life, every different way that we are has its own challenges, presents us with a Dharma gate that we can enter. But to name someone as Dharma elder is to recognize that they're alive with this commitment. It's stable. It's pulling on the traces. And they've honed the capacity to risk living with an openness to the teachings and the practice, fully relying on it, listening to the way, and embodying it. Dogen Zenji wrote a fascicle called Juki, not Jukai, which is taking the present precepts, but Juki, affirmation. This affirmation is affirmation of what is already true. That our awakened nature is expressed in our moment-to-moment lives. So, I'd like to read you part of the description that we have of a Dharma elder. Would you like to hear it? Okay. A Sangha elder is in a position within a Sangha that denotes that they've been practicing for many years, and they are an embodiment of the Dharma and a model for the Sangha. They are a person who follows the precepts, a person who models their life on the Buddhist precepts and exhibits upright principles and behavior. A person who is a good example to the Sangha. This is a person who can be looked to as a source of right effort and skillful means. They are a model for Sangha practice. They are a person who supports the Sangha. This is a person who believes in and supports the structure of the Buddhist Sangha. This means they follow the three treasures taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. This is a person who is not attracted to mere material gain. While this person is of the world, is a lay person, and is a person who must deal with and be supported by their labor, they do not cling to anything. A Dharma elder is a person who has many years of practice. This is a Sangha member who has practiced for many years and has trained in the ways of Sangha life. They are a person who has spent years investigating the nature of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha in their daily life. And they have completed sesshin and learned temple duties. This is a person who is dependable. This person is one who practices equanimity and is solidly grounded in the practice. They are a source of stability for the Sangha. A Dharma elder regularly attends temple events and follows the schedule. They are a person who supports new practitioners or guests. This person is a source of knowledge, a model, and a source of stability for those who are new to practice. This person takes a leading position in greeting and being hospitable to Sangha guests. A Dharma elder is watchful. This person keeps an eye on Sangha affairs and speaks up if they feel that something is not right. They are not swayed by authority or adulation. A Sangha elder is a person who can teach the Dharma. While the Sangha elder is not the primary teacher of the Zen Center, they are able to preach the Dharma. They are capable of giving Dharma talks and teaching Dharma classes. They are a person who can share Sangha leadership. They help support the leaders and take on leadership roles. And they are a person who can minister to the Sangha if necessary. It is understood that this is a person who can be approached by Sangha members as a good spiritual friend. So these are the things that we outlined as qualities for a Dharma elder. And they return us to these five qualities that the Buddha spoke of. These are qualities that we celebrate today and that we all aspire to, right? They help us remember what it means to be alive with the Dharma, what it means to mature, and what it means to have, good friends. Here you go. Good friends, a sense of integrity, self-worth, staying close to the teachings, effort and resolve, discernment, wisdom, and clarity. Thank you.